The Bartender and Podcast DFW Bar Crawl is brought to you in partnership with Herd Card Game, the card game for service industry misfits.
Friends, family, and all you other assholes out there, welcome back to another episode of the Boilermaker Tapes.
Thank you for your $5.
We just have had an absolute blast down here. Oh my God. DFW Bar Crawl has delivered. Yesterday, we did four shows. Today, we are doing nothing but Boilermaker Tapes, which is Mike and I's preferred method of actually doing.
Honestly, this could be the show. It really could be the fucking show, man.
So much less work.
especially when you got the audio down here.
It's a ton of fun. All the stories have delivered. We can't wait to keep bringing you guys some unbelievable content. But, you know, the way the Boilermaker Tapes work, it's pretty simple, right? We're going to have a guest on. We're going to do a shot of whiskey or a shot of something and a beer. And we're going to get into one great drinking story. So, I'm sorry. I can't stop burping.
You gassy bitch.
I just ate an egg burrito.
I get it.
That was your first taste of Whataburger, too.
And it's funny.
Oh, and also, if you listen to it. Well,
stop touching me.
Say what you wanted to say.
What I was going to say is our next guest told me, you think you can eat? You're in the service business. If you're not over a trash can, you don't deserve this food.
So if you listen to the last one with James.
Stop touching me.
Habitual line stepper.
Charlie Murphy. It's from the famous Chappelle sketch where Charlie Murphy.
And if you have not seen those.
About Rick James.
Yeah.
And he was a line stepper. He was a habitual line stepper. And that's the one that ends with Rick James literally stomping his muddy shoes on his.
Fuck your couch.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah,
exactly. We couldn't figure it out. Mike and I had to go out and Mike had to have a cigarette. I'm like, we got to get to the bottom of this.
I didn't say shit. I was looking it up. I told
you. What is the habitual answer? But anyway, Matthew, let's bring you in, brother.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me over here.
Thank you for joining us. Doesn't he kind of look like Nick?
He looks exactly like Nick.
Just like him.
I've been thinking it this since the moment he walked in the door. Is this Nick Gann's literal twin brother?
Yeah.
How old are you?
31.
Dude, it is Nick Gann's twin brother. Nick Gann is 31. Oh my God. So we have a friend who's just like you. He owns a crepe restaurant called Crepe Daddy.
Shout out Crepe Daddy.
Yes.
Ocean City, Maryland.
Right on.
But Boardwalk.
Anyway, he is, I feel like you and him might have a similar aura where you're unexpected. You kind of keep it below the surface, but when you let it out, people's eyeballs pop out of their fucking head. Yes.
I was born in Maryland.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Where at?
Andrews Air Force Base.
Oh, okay, nice.
Military.
Nice. You're military brat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So bouncing around, it makes sense. You're down here in Texas, you know. We're gonna get into your episode, but as we always do with the Boilermaker Tapes, we got to start with Shadow Whiskey. So,
what whiskey are we doing?
I think we're still doing the Bent Rye.
Okay. I don't know if they're sponsored. I'm sure they're officially.
We're doing the Ben 5 Rye.
If any of the reps provided this, thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much. Let's raise one in the air.
A take.
Store that brown.
To Charlie Murphy.
And you guys will notice that their shots are a little bit less full than they were in the last couple
episodes.
Yeah,
we got an audio daddy. Thank you. Remember how I said I was going to take care of the drinks? It's probably better if you take care of it. I love that we have Stefan on the microphone.
I'm going to say it again. He has to be on it. Like, it is important for him to manage.
I like every now and then when you get his, like, laughs in the background.
Yeah, we cannot manage ourselves. We need the audio daddy to manage us. But, Matt, we obviously know that we have this beautiful shared connection of the original, the Maryland-born, but Texas-raised, maybe. Are you from here in Fort Worth? Are you from the Dallas area? What's your backstory?
Most of my life, I grew up around here, honestly. Cool. Most of my life, about three quarters of it, I've been around here in Fort Worth.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. We have absolutely loved this town because they've accepted us with open arms. I was a dick last night at the bar.
He tried to fight me. He squared up on me, this motherfucker.
So nice to me. And I thought...
After I bought him Montenegro.
I think the
I'm not leaving.
The cliche with Texas is if you're a dick, they're going to pull out the pistol. But everybody was so kind. And I can't wait to get into your particular Boilermaker tape. Now, we always do with this particular series of the show, ask for a name to your story. So do you have a name that you call the story? We've had the bubblegum story. We've had the pank drank. We've had
the all paper the, check promoted the, to security.
The glitter in the gutter. We've had so many great story names. Do you have a name for your story?
Yeah, I guess it's the time I rolled my ankle.
The okay. time I rolled my ankle. Okay. All right. Take it away, Matt.
Okay. So just talk about that. Or the
oh yeah,
just go. Okay,
this is your show. We're the clowns.
You gotta say it right. This is your rodeo. We're just the clowns. In it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. My name is Matthew Rager. I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, and I've been a bartender here for almost 6 years. I want to say, yeah, it's around 6 years or so. I worked my way through barbecking in many places all throughout before coming to this city back again, and I ended up falling in love with the craft. Cocktail culture was beautiful, it was wonderful. It was everything that I actually wanted to do. It made sense. Everything was logical. Everything was expanding. Everything was striving to be something more, and it wasn't always just about the money. Long story short, the job that I work at is mainly for money. Yes. I went from working and learning my craft. And as one of my friends, who I won't name, who's a very reputable distributor, he said, "You didn't sell out. You bought in, brother. Welcome." Mm, I was like thanks. I appreciate that. He's like, "But you should go home." So I ended up, finally making it to this place where I thought, oh man, okay, finally I've made it. This is fine dining. This is pristine. This is white tablecloth. This is place sitting every single time. This is French service if implicitly requested, never actually openly stated, but if you know kind of thing.
It almost feels like industry tone setting, right? Like this is the top.
Right. And, how would I know what that looks like? I thought it was... It's good, but it just kind of, this is the only place that I'd ever been where I'd had the amount of craziness of any job I've ever worked at in my entire life. Because while the formal dining room is very succinct and very precise, we are too in our own way, but it's like a garbage style fine dining, basically, because the bar is like popular, it's rabid, people go there, you know. Very expensive Republicans go there.
White okay. tablecloth in the back, right?
Yes. That's why we're not naming the place, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
What you're
they
describing,
me by
Matthew, eons. What you're describing sounds like a mullet, right? Party in the, you know, business in the front, party in the back. It's white tablecloth in the front, fucking party in the back. It's a mullet of a Michelin star restaurant.
I have never thought of that before.
Hey guys, keep fucking down, okay?
You'll have your turn.
Okay, it's a mullet. Yeah, no, I'm completely in agreement with that. Yeah, absolutely. No, so this is the first place. This was the time that I rolled my ankle. This is the place that I had the first time in my bar career out of like a long time overall bar career. Around six years here, but elsewhere in Houston. Not gonna get into that. I got into a brawl. I actually got into a full on brawl.
Set us up to the brawl because I want to hear you in it.
Also, I also have a question too. So, for this particular spot, was the fine dining curated experience something that you'd been seeking out, or did you fall into
good
it?
Question.
Oh yeah, I did. I deliberately went
you
into
wanted
it.
That.
Yeah. Yes.
And is this something that you studied? Or, I mean, just have an affinity for?
Yeah, reading Setting the Table from managers in the past who had helped me learn exactly what actually was good.
Okay.
I was like, no, this isn't good. But then, you think they're bullshitting, and then they show you, this is bad. Oh, okay, that's
but
what you're doing.
It's like you said, but you said it's logical. It's not just it's not just pretentious. There's a reason behind the way you do things.
I was straight.
Yeah, not to speak into this, but you strike me as somebody that really likes process-driven things, organization, process, a spec that you can work off of. And the higher environments, we all love dive bars. I mean, everybody sitting in this room, we all love dive bars. And those are the bars where it's like you order something like, we don't fucking have that. Hey, we're out of that, you know, and order something else, right? I love that bar, but I also love the bar that's curated to the point where it's so fucking organized that it's just, you feel cared for in a different way. And so I can understand the attraction to that level of service. I've always felt it too, just because, you know, we love the hospitality.
You're not classy.
I'm not classy.
He's not classy.
But I get off on taking care of people. So yeah. I think that's part of the graduation of hospitality. So you're in this environment.
It
doesn't strike me as an environment that has a lot of brawls. So how does this thing come about?
Well, a lot of our customers, like a lot of the customers in the area, I guess in general in Fort Worth, are still very tied to the roots of the city. So they don't want to forgo that idea of the cowboy idealism, the rancher.
Yeah, and I don't mean to interrupt, but Chandler was explaining us last night, like Fort Worth is old money. And Dallas is new money. So international listeners, people who aren't from Texas, Fort Worth has the ranchers, the oil money. And Dallas is where all the ranchers and oil guys send their wives to get their plastic surgery done. Right.
Yeah. So she said it in one simple sentence. In Fort Worth, you'll see cowboy boots that are $1,000, but they look like they came off.
$3,000.
They came off the ranch. In Dallas, you'll see cowboy boots that look like they came out of a Taylor Swift
but
concert.
Like $3,000. You spend $3,000 on boots in Fort Worth, they look like work boots. You spend $3,000 on boots in Dallas, they got rhinestones on them, basically.
Thank you for reminding me how very carefully I need to do this without getting sued. Fuck.
Have you signed how many NDAs?
None this year.
Okay. Good. Let us know when the term lapses and we'll have you back on the show.
Yes, sir. Let's give them a little bit of a runway here. So you're working at this higher end establishment here in Fort Worth. And how does the brawl start to fester? I mean, it's a boil, right?
Is it a brawl or is it fisticuffs?
Skullduggery?
I didn't jump in until it seemed inappropriate. This is a bit much. And so it actually built. It built. So it started with one table, and it led to two twin brothers coming in and trying to fight my GM.
Okay.
And they
you gotta slow down, man.
I'm sorry.
I'm not making it up. I promise.
You gotta slow the fuck down.
Sorry.
What night of the week is this?
This is the day after Christmas.
Twin Brother Tuesday.
What was it?
The day after Christmas.
The day after Christmas.
Yeah, it's the 26th of December. Remember that.
Okay, so families are together. People have been drinking.
I mean, mainly it's just we closed down the bar really quickly, early, and then, you know, we all clocked out, not on the clock anymore, hanging out. Drinking.
Okay, so this is after hours.
Yes, yeah.
What set people off? What was the catalyst?
So we let somebody decide to stay at the table. They were past service. They had already closed out. They're fine. You know, they were very kind. And then all of a sudden, they like just started smoking and like ashing their cigarettes on the window next to us.
Whoa, okay.
And then so my GM is there with his wife. They're sitting, enjoying some cocktails, drinking. A couple of people, regulars of ours, who they like invited to just like hang out for a little bit after hours. We're still like kind of towing that sort of, is it okay? Is it not okay? Mm-hmm. Like kind of vibe. So a lot of people are just hanging out. We're drinking. We're done. We're clocked out. And we're enjoying a little bit of whiskey and stuff. And then this guy starts doing it. And our GM comes out off the clock. Someone's like, hey, don't do that.
You're talking about smoking and ashing
cigarettes on a window.
Like just stabbing it into the window
bad manners.
And rip, like rolling it around until it's out. Yeah. Manners. He comes back and sits down. He's like, what an asshole. It's like, yeah, he's a piece of shit. And his wife says, baby, look at him right now. He's making fun of you. And that's what started the entire thing. His wife actually started everything, and it was hilarious. She knew
fuck
what she
you,
was.
Mike. It's the match that lit the fire. Okay, well, Mrs. O'Malley's cow kicked over the lantern, and that's what burned Chicago down.
So I understand correctly because the GM and his wife are there.
Yes,
the guy and his wife at the table are there.
Yes, but the younger daughter.
Yeah. Was she hot or was she a heifer?
Yes.
Okay. Heifer.
Heifer. Heifer. Yes.
Sorry, right, baby, you're going to have money. Don't worry.
But hot.
So the guy and his wife and the heifer at the table. I'm sorry, I feel bad saying
fair
that.
Enough.
I'm sure she's a sweet girl.
Don't feel
it's
bad.
It's not her fault.
Stop.
Was it that they were saying, honey, he's making fun of you?
No, my GM was with his wife.
GM's wife.
She came to hang out and she said, look, he's making fun of you. Look, you came out there. He's talking shit. he's making fun of you, baby. And he looked around and he said, oh, hell no. And she had this shit-eating grin on her face when it happened. I remember I was like...
The GM's wife.
Yeah. I was like, no, no, don't do that. And she just laughs. She's just like smiling. And she starts laughing as soon as he runs out. I'm like, what kind of relationship do y'all... You'll have three children.
You got to keep
grown.
Things interesting,
like,
man.
I
you
guess.
Spicy,
I don't know.
You know?
It just... It kind of threw me for a loop. I was like, what's happening? Because
she knows...
Happening?
She's like, if he gets into a fight, I'm like... We're going to fuck tonight. That's, yeah. That's what she's thinking, yeah. You know?
I'm looking bloody and bruised.
So that happened. He comes out there, and, like, he starts, like, talking to the guy. The guy gets up and, like, shoves him, so he punches him in the face. And then it all comes into a big situation. The sous chef comes around and, like, wraps the guy's arms around, tries to pull him back. And then my GM at the time says, oh, thanks, man. And he just starts
wailing
on
the guy.
In front of his daughter? In front of his daughter?
No. Yeah, his daughter. And in front of his daughter. In front of his wife.
Man.
Yeah. Jesus. The hot heifer, yes. And company. Yeah, like, and then... And so at that point in time, the daughter actually jumped on my GM's back while he's doing this.
How old is the daughter?
She's maybe like 16.
Yeah.
No.
And he's like, hey. And like, that's when it gets hairy, right?
Yeah,
like,
you can't
and then,
punch a 16-year-old.
No, and he doesn't.
You can punch a 16-year-old boy in the face.
You can punch a 16-year-old
girl in the face.
You can punch a 16-year-old girl in the face, but she has to be wearing a horse costume. That's a deep cut. Listen to the episodes,
that's
people.
That's actually true. You can do that legally.
It's also a card in the Herd Card Game expansion pack.
The lower 48 and Alaska.
So these two brothers who had previously served, they were angels.
These are the twins?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to ask. I was like, where the fuck are the twins?
Because, I mean, they're...
You were right. You were right about Nick and him. You guys do have a similar aura, and the way that you tell stories
is the same.
Bury the fucking lead.
You know what they do? They tell the end of the story,
yes,
and then
at
they
the
back
beginning.
It up.
That's
what
the
they
fucking...
do. 100%. I cannot wait for you.
So these
two,
twins came in, right?
There's a world where you two meet each other, and it's the actual Spider-Man.
There can be like only one.
Yeah, like you guys are gonna fight to the death, and I don't want it to happen, probably but lose. It's going to
Nick,
happen.
Nick is one of the only friends that has ever like assaulted me multiple times, and I'm like, dude, what the fuck? These Boilermaker tapes are brought to you by The Usual. The Usual is Fort Worth's first craft cocktail bar. That's right. They started off in Fort Worth.
Goddamn.
This iconic wood, chrome, steel, and stained concrete industrial speakeasy was inspired by a visit to Chicago in 2007. Located on Magnolia Avenue in Fort Worth, The Usual opened in 2009 and offers all manner of slightly esoteric libations. Drop by for an old-fashioned or one of their innovative seasonal cocktails. Maybe even a pank drink.
Oh, I love a good pank
huge
drink.
Huge shout out to The Usual and Jason and the whole team there. They just made us feel so at home and gave us such a beautiful spot to hang out and record all of these incredible Boilermaker tapes. If you're in the Fort Worth area visiting or if you live there, please go by and spend some time with them. I promise you, you'll have a good time.
Very different style than the Algiers Club, but I will tell you, it is a special space. Just really, really cool space.
Yep. So thank you again to everyone at The Usual. Thank you, Jason, for putting up with our shenanigans. You can follow The Usual at The Usual Bar on Instagram. These episodes are sponsored by Two Hats Coffee. Two Hats Coffee is a mom-and-pop venture that carefully selects single-origin coffee harvest from Costa Rica and roasts the beans in small batches in the backwoods of East Texas. Pick your preferred roast, choose whole bean or ground, and order online. Costa Rican grown, Texas roasted. And don't worry, I got permission from both of the people from Costa Rica here to say that. So check them out at twohatscoffee.com. That's the number 2hatscoffee.com.
Yeah, anyway. So this is starting to escalate.
Yes.
So the 16-year-old's jumping on the GM's back. Yeah. After he's getting free, just waylay punches on this motherfucker.
It's around the time I step outside and like, this is getting out of hand. Mm-hmm. This is getting weird. Like, let's try and see if we can.
You're
like,
just
break
it
up.
Trying to have a nice evening.
Yeah. It's the day after Christmas.
Yeah. Like, and you're clocked out. You're like, I'm not getting paid for this shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was already like, I'm chill. I'm good. Like, I'm enjoying a whiskey. It's very nice. What a nice time. How much fun. Oh, fuck. Like, and so I go outside and like, okay. And then like these two guys come up and they're like, you're gonna hit women? He's like, I'm not even like, and then like the, they end up like, you know,
whoa, two guys come up.
The two twins.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. The two twins. Do they work there?
No, they were my customers in the evening earlier.
Also,
they had been hanging out.
So the 16-year-old girl is on the back.
Yes.
And then they come up and they say, you're going to hit women.
You're going to hit women. Yeah. Like,
which
they
he's
were like,
not. He's like, she's assaulting me.
It's currently happening. Yes.
Now, I have to ask you, was anybody drunk enough to think that they were looking at the same person? You know what I mean? Like, there are two twins there, but they're I've got two guns.
Yeah,
one for each of them. Val Kilmer from fucking Tombstone.
Oh, yeah, right? Definitely. No, there's many chances for that to happen.
Okay, all
but
right.
Both of them walked up. It's like, and they both, like, took a stance. Like,
I love that they fight in tandem. It's like, ta-da, ta-da.
Basically, like, I mean, I don't know. They weren't, like, exactly in step, but you get the gist. Yeah. I mean, like, they were there, and they were...
We were in the womb together. We're going out together.
No, like, I mean, I talked to them. I got to know them as customers that day. Like, it was cool. They were very nice. They tipped generously.
And they don't like guys hitting women, so I mean, you know.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Stand-up guys.
Yeah, I like their brand.
Okay. Yeah, they're good guys.
How does this get resolved? Because it feels like at this point in the story, we have unloaded into chaos.
This isn't getting resolved yet, because you got involved, and we haven't got to that
point. I'm still outside. I'm like, hey.
You don't even know how he rolled his ankle.
Exactly.
I fucking forgot.
Jesus Christ, dude.
It's like, I'm just like, whoa, what the fuck? Whoa. It was like, hey. I was like, I'm trying to figure out who to, like, break up. You know, like, hey, chill out.
You get
most
the 16-year-old off the GM's
most
bag.
Most bar fights, like, you just like, hey, and they're like, well, he hit me. And, like, you know, they just, like, want their little stand. They
yeah,
little
the peacock.
Podium.
Yeah. Oh, just hold
not
me back.
Even,
hold me back.
Yeah, not even the case here. No, just people fighting. And it was a grave mistake, because those two guys came up, you're going to hit women? And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then, like, they, like, basically grab him. The woman jumped, like, the girl falls, jumps off his back. No, the heifer is the wife, but...
Oh, so the 60-year-old's not the heifer.
I mean, she doesn't have time.
give her 15 years.
So basically, these two guys, they...
You
they
wonder why
twins.
You can't get a date.
I couldn't know. Anyway, go on.
They get me started on all.
They grab
Shut
him.
The fuck up, Steve.
And they start kicking the shit out of him, and the sous chef jumps in, and he starts wailing in, too, and they're just fighting.
Who's the sous chef hitting?
The sous chef is a good man who... He's very good at making French and Italian cuisine. He's a very brilliant, gifted person who I will
but
not
who's
name.
He punching?
He's punching one of the brothers at this time.
Okay.
But he doesn't know
better.
Which one. Cause
he doesn't know which one.
Right?
So he's just going just in. Like, he's just going in.
Either one of your faces.
And I'm confused. And as soon as they attacked our GM, a lot of the staff that
of
was
course.
Still hanging out comes out.
And that's how you know you're liked as a GM.
You got about eight guys who come outside, like, hey, what the fuck is happening? Like, coming out in, like, black vests and white press shirts, like, coming in trying to break it up.
This is fine dining.
And then, like, I'm like, oh. And I end up, because I was
you guys
still there.
Had to look like Kill Bill.
And they're coming yeah. in. Yeah. Right.
Everybody's
yeah.
in uniform. For the
I'm the first person who dies, too, because this guy, I come up, and, like, because I'm in the front of it, I guess, because I was already out there, and they come out, and, like, I try and grab one of the guys, and I try and, like, push him back away.
Yeah.
And then one of the brothers on the side that I wasn't looking hit me in the head with a chair.
Oh,
what the fuck? This is going from...
Where did he get a chair? This was outside.
No, it's the patio.
Fine dining to Waffle House really fucking quick.
Yeah, so, like, right. So the family, so we go back. The family that was drinking and hanging out, having a good time, smoking on the patio. They were on the patio, having a good time and whatnot.
Just putting their cigarettes out on the window.
On the window, because he's being a dickhead mm-hmm. for some reason.
Right.
And then, right, so...
Republicans.
Circling back all the way to here.
I'm sorry,
after
I'm
that
kidding.
Happened.
I don't know.
So my GM
you smoke
fights...
Luckies.
My GM fights one family, and then he goes and gets pretty close to getting beaten up, these two twins that come up, and then come out. I get hit in the head with a chair. A lot of my memories, I kind of blend in with the video that my
right.
GM showed me
right.
after.
Oh,
the
there's a video?
Right, and I've been cleared by corporate, so I was able to get the job back. So, not a big deal.
Well, what did you do wrong? You just got hit in the head with the chair.
Well, you got involved. And unfortunately, I would assume at this level of service, they're like, if anybody gets involved,
call the police.
You're out.
Yeah. That was interesting, too.
So, hold on. you haven't told us how you rolled your fucking ankle. All we heard is that you got hit in the head with a chair.
When I got hit in the head with a chair, I had rolled my ankle when I got knocked out.
You were such an asshole.
Wait, you got...
The story is, I rolled my ankle, not I got hit in the head with a fucking chair. Well,
the reason why is because he doesn't even know he rolls his ankle until he wakes up from being unconscious from being hit in the head with a fucking chair.
I didn't know.
Did they knock you out and then you fell and rolled your ankle?
I don't know because I got knocked out. But
which one hit you in the head with the chair?
One of them.
One of the twins?
One of them hit me in the head with the chair. The one on the left.
Both of them.
The one on the left. The one on the right was very entangled. There were a lot of people.
Gotcha.
So you wake up and you're like, my head hurts.
Yeah, I woke up like my a ankle few hurts seconds. Way apparently, more. Like on the camera, like it was like a few seconds later, like I wake up and like holding my head and like looking around. And then he hits me in the head again with a fucking chair.
What? On the ground?
On the ground? See, okay. I take back what I said. These guys are not good guys.
Were you fighting Allen Iverson?
Can you see this? They were not coming up to be like to be like, you hit women? No, they were like, fuck yeah.
No, they just
there's
got
a
into
fight
it.
Going on. Let's get into yeah. this.
Holy
fuck
shit,
these guys.
Dude.
So you're on the ground waking up and he hits you in the head with the chair
right,
again.
And I bounced off the floor and I got really mad because I was like, that's very disrespectful to hit somebody in the head with a chair twice.
This is
like,
not white glove service.
It's very disrespectful. It's like, it's super annoying. Like when somebody does that. And that was just, I remember feeling really annoyed, not like deeply angry, just like deeply annoyed. And like, I had, I like grabbed a guy in front of me cause he was trying to get into it's like, I like shoved somebody out of my way. Before I could get to the guy who'd hit me with a chair, because I saw him throw it down when I got up. The GM of the wine bar across the street in this very fancy shopping center that's very easy to recognize. He doesn't work there anymore, so it's fine. Kyle knocked that guy's fucking tooth out with an uppercut, which was wild. It's like,
where are we
it's like
about
one of the like the
fucking
like
molars.
Yeah. Molar.
Straight up. Upcover.
Yeah. It was nasty. Like, around the same time that had happened, apparently I had grabbed him with both hands and then shoved him into the handrail and then dragged him with my right arm because I'm left-handed
while limping.
Just
cause your ankle's been rolled.
I didn't really think about it at the time.
Right. This is one of those things. Ankle rolls are like some of the most painful thing you'll ever. I mean, I have very flat feet. I played basketball my whole life, and I have rolled.
I played football.
I have rolled.
Which one gave you more CTE?
The football.
Okay.
I'm not gonna be able to walk in 20 years because of the basketball. A rolled ankle and the purple ankle is brutal. But when it immediately happens, if you're on that adrenaline, you just keep going. Keep walking on it. You can do it. It's not till the next day that you're like, oh, I'm right. fucked. Like, yeah, exactly. I can't bartend tonight.
Peripheral vision open.
Yeah.
Lightweight, like, kind of like glow to everything.
Oh, Lord.
Deeply annoyed.
Yeah.
And like,
so you're dragging this motherfucker down the alley?
No. Like, I pinned him against one of the handrails and on the patio. I pin him against it and I just start hitting him and he keeps trying to drag away. So I just keeps running to the left and I keep just pounding him. And as he's like crumpling, I keep like hitting him and somebody's like, dude, don't. And I was like, all right. I broke my fucking left finger doing it. And it was annoying because like I ended up like hitting him.
We could have called the story the broken left finger, but I'm glad we called the rolled ankle. What a fucking Barry.
God,
what a fucking Barry in the story. Jesus Christ.
So I rolled my ankle this one time, man.
And then the police showed up not too long after that. I actually, at some point in time after that happened, the guy got back up out of the corner after I'd...
Good.
And then, like, the two guys are like, you guys are fucking dicks. it became awkward. The police showed up. I tried to put my mask back on because I realized I was on camera. It's like, so I like, this is during COVID, concern. Like COVID. Like, after
all you had to do was not put cigarettes out on the fucking window of this restaurant and we would have been fine.
Yeah.
Everything would have been fine.
I put my mask back on and put my dukes up and I was like, what the fuck are you doing after the fact? I'm looking at this. I'm like, this is insane. Like, so I'm like, and the police show up and it's the first time in my life as a career bartender, as a piece of shit, that I've ever had a cop walk up to me. There are like 8 squad cars showing up. Because this is like the crown jewel of Fort Worth for the Richie Rich. Bullshit shit. Saks Fifth Avenue, Halsberg Diamonds, fucking Louis Vuitton, Neiman. Right. And they come up, like, there's like a dozen fucking 10, 12 cars, whatever. A bunch of police show up. Like, what's going on? And like they come up to me. I've got like blood flecked on my white shirt. And they said, I'm so sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I apologize for taking your time, but if you could explain to me what just happened here, I'd really appreciate it.
See, it's like, the cops are acting more fucking professional. And you, like, oh, shit!
And you look the cop right in the eyes, and you're like, guys, I rolled my ankle.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Oh, my God. So how much longer did you work there after this?
I had already put in my 2 weeks, and this is like my third to last day.
There wow. Wow. So what did you tell the cops?
I said, thank you for saying that. Well, these gentlemen assaulted my employer. My employer. We made sure that we were able to defend our employer and made sure that the place was safe as possible. Just wanted to make sure that there was a calm environment. Apologize for taking it away. No. It's like, oh shit. God, this is so much better than my youth. Like, this is like dealing with people. Like, yeah, it's amazing. Like, you just put on a suit and a fucking vest. Like, it's like,
it's always funny how
you gotta have a little blood plucked on there too.
I guess, yeah. Like, ensemble. Oh, do you need a Tide pen? Like, holy shit! <I've got> one. God, the dramatic difference of
it's
like,
always funny how a bartender will never shut up about gossip, right? Like, if you had that story, I guarantee you told your friends, every friend you had, every detail. But if the cops show up, it's like, they assaulted my employer. Keep it short, sweet, and simple.
Also, so I also, and maybe I'm wrong, I also feel like this is not a story you've told everybody.
It's not a story I've told in detail. Yeah. It's just like, I mean, it was out there already. I mean, things happen.
People are asking.
Yeah. A lot of people were involved.
Yeah.
But it wasn't something that I would share until I realized that it went from criminal and they decided to go to civil and they settled out of court for what happened.
Yeah.
And I got cleared by HR, so I...
Now you feel comfortable.
Right, so it happened, it's over, and there's nothing else that can be done about it, so we can talk about it.
Very good.
Well, we appreciate you sharing this story. Oh, an man. Unbelievable, unbelievable tale put on wax for the Boilermaker tape. Thank you, Matthew.
And now, the guy... No, fuck up. The guy...
Fuck you.
The guy that hit you in the head with the chair, right? Mm-hmm. Was that the guy that you got to fucking beat on for a little while?
Yes. Stefan, okay. I tried.
I appreciate you trying.
Thank you.
It's me this time.
Mike wants to keep going.
As we always say, fuck off.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening along, and thanks for drinking along. We hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, we release new episodes every couple of weeks. Big shout out to our friends at Trauma Parlor, whose song Fast One you heard throughout the show. Go check them out on Facebook and Spotify and show them some love.
Damn straight. And if you want to be one of our bar flies, check out our website at brpdrinkalong.com. Or
we have a website?
That's right. We have a website. Thank you so much, recording daddy, Stefan, the fucking man.
Media daddy.
The media daddy.
It's really cool. Go check it out.
Yeah, the man behind that is truly making the show go. And if you aren't just checking it out the website, you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at BRP Drink Along. That's where you can check out everything we are doing, become a Patreon member, and shop the merch store. You can listen along anywhere you get your podcasts, but just make sure you please give us 5 stars, you know, or fuck off. Your ratings help us grow the show, reach new listeners, and immortalize your favorite local bartenders. And plus, Mike and I really, really need the personal validation.
Yeah, it's been a while, guys. We're getting back into the saddle here, so, you know, give us some love. You don't have to. Fuck you. I don't care. Now, for all of you shit talkers out there, I'm just kidding. I love you. Now, for all of you shit talkers out there, it's your turn on the microphone. We've set up a bartender rant hotline called The Suggestion Box, where you can air your grievances, tell your stories, or just rant about the bullshit you just put up with. Just dial 423-763-7268 and drop a line. Steve and I will play the best of the bunch and react to your crazy stories on this new segment. So the next time the bar business has you saying, fuck me, just dial 423-P-O-D-R-A-N-T.
No doubt. And Mike, just really quickly, I haven't prepped Mike on this. Would you mind singing the 423 Pod Rant jingle for the people? We won't do it every time, but this is our first outro since you wrote the jingle.
Oh, we're actually going to have it put together, but it's like, okay. When customers, managers, coworkers bite, whether it's a Monday or a Saturday night, if the service industry has got you saying, fuck me, call 423-P-O-D-R-E-N-T.
Hell yes. I love it. It's so perfect. And if you guys want to be one of our executive producers,
aka one of our bozos.
Please subscribe to the Bartender Rant podcast on Patreon, where you'll get access to all of our bonus content. You'll be the first in line for early releases, and you'll get your name and drink of choice shouted out during halftime. Our executive producers are the fuel that helps us grow the show and keep interviewing local bartenders around the world. So until next time, don't just listen along,
drink along.